Let's pray, and then I'm going to have some kids come up, and we're going to have a little kids panel and ask them a few questions. So let's bow our heads. Dear God, I thank you for this time together. Lord, I'm grateful for moms, grateful for all that they do. Lord, I just pray that you would be with each mother. Give her the energy she needs. Give her great wisdom. Lord, I lift up those for whom this is a challenging day for various reasons. And I just ask that you just strengthen them and encourage them. There are folks who've lost children, those who can't have children, those whose mother has gone on in death. And so I just pray for comfort and encouragement for those for whom this is a bittersweet day. And Lord, I just ask your blessing on our time together. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. So could my panelists come on up here? You should know who you are. And we have a few children, teenager, that we're going to talk to for a moment. Ask some questions about their mothers. And for the record, I don't know what they're going to say. So I'm just being clear. I have no idea. So you can just kind of pass the microphone to each other. Make sure you guys speak into the microphone so they can hear you. So the first question is, what is your mom's name and what do you appreciate about her?
My mom's name is Jalissa Poe, and I appreciate her cooking.
Okay. All right, pass it down. Let everybody answer.
My mom's name is Candace Brunty, and I appreciate her standing by me through a crazy hockey season every year.
My mother's name is Heather. I really appreciate her helping me cook.
Okay. And then what is your favorite activity to do with your mom?
My favorite activity to do with my mom is talk.
Okay.
My favorite activity to do with my mom would be making jewelry with her when she's working.
My favorite activity to do with her is letting her drop me off at Auntie T's.
That's awesome. What is an important lesson that your mom has taught you?
To always have patience.
To recognize when you've made a mistake and to correct it.
For helping me be kind to my sister.
Okay. And then what is a funny or favorite memory you have with your mom? So a funny or favorite memory you have with your mom.
It's when we had a mud fight in Nenana.
All right.
When a couple years ago, it was Northern Lights, she woke me up around 2 in the morning, and we went outside and laid on the trampoline for about half an hour.
I appreciate her.
A funny or favorite memory, Mona, of your mom?
Looking at books with her. She reads me books.
Okay, awesome. All right, well, thank you, guys. Let's give them a hand. Proverbs 22:6 is where we're going to start today. A pretty well-known passage simply says this, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Or some translations say, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not turn from it. And so I want to look this morning pretty quickly. I want to have us look at the image. I love the image of a house for parenting, of building something, and thinking through how do you raise whole kids? How do you raise holy kids? How do you raise kids that honor God above everything else in really a broken, dysfunctional culture? How do we do that? How do we start kids off in the way that they should go? And it's not easy. And it's going to be challenging, but I think the foundation for that, if we're looking at it like a house, building a building, is going to be prayer. And Psalm 127:1 says this, David writes, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. And I just want to encourage you None of us are going to be perfect parents, and you're not going to be a perfect mom, but you can be a praying mom. You can invite the God of heaven, the God who made all of us, the God of all wisdom, into this process of raising this child, this son or daughter that you have been entrusted to. And the scripture talks about in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 to pray continually. And I just encourage to make your life one of prayer, that you talk to your God about your kids often, regularly. I've even had moms tell me that they do little tricks to kind of make sure they're praying regularly. Like one is they take their birth date. So like my daughter Maria's birth date would be October 3rd. And so twice a day, you know, at 10:03 in the morning, the mom would stop and pray. And then at night, if she's up at that time, stop and pray as well. Now, I think that little trick works better if you have one or two children rather than five or six, because it gets a little overwhelming. But just whatever it takes to make prayer for your children a regular part of your life. This is a huge part of our calling as parents. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." You know, when I watch parents, and as we have parented, the same technique doesn't work exactly the same way with each child. Every child is unique. They're a special creation from God. And so to continually be praying for wisdom and asking God, how do we handle this? How do we balance grace and truth? How do we balance, you know, control and freedom? How do we wrestle with these things? Prayer is such an important key. You know, pray for your daughters and sons spiritually, for their spiritual growth, that they will come to know the Lord. One of the hardest things is if you're a mom and your kids reach adulthood and they have not made a decision to follow Christ. And I just encourage you to double down on that, to just pray for that regularly and consistently, to pray for their physical health, to pray for their sexuality, for purity in both mind and in body and heart, to pray for them mentally, for them to have clear minds and to make wise choices, because there's so many ways that we can go off in the wrong direction. And our kids have all these opportunities to pray for their emotional health, to pray for their relationships. I encourage you from the time they're in the womb to pray for their spouse, whoever that might be. I mean, not everybody gets married, but most people do. And to be praying for that spouse, praying for protection for that person, and that person will be making wise decisions, and that they will come into this marriage someday with minimal baggage. We all have some baggage, but you know, minimal. And prefer, you know, the carry-on bag to a U-Haul, you know, and start praying now for your child's key relationships. Pray for them to get the right teachers at the right time if they go off to school. Pray for them to you know, just connect with people at church that are older and wiser, and it's amazing the power of somebody at church saying something that you as a parent have said multiple times, but all of a sudden it's just great wisdom and brilliance when someone else says it at church to them, rather than it always being from the parent. And so I just want to encourage you to pray consistently for your children. I love the stories of Susanna Wesley. Susanna Wesley has been called the mother of Methodism, and she's an interesting character who lived, honestly, a pretty difficult life. She had 19 children. Now stop and think about that. 19 children, lost 9 of them as either babies or little. So a lot of grief and a lot of loss. So 10 of her children survived to adulthood. She raised 10 of them all the way up. Her home burned down twice in her lifetime. Once, they think, possibly was from some enemies of her husband. She was in a very difficult marriage. He left them at one point just for like a year and a half because of a fight that she and her husband had, and pretty challenging. And yet she was a woman of God. She was a woman of great faith, and she prayed for her kids regularly, and she sowed biblical truth into them. And one of the great visuals from her life, you know, imagine these 19 kids, or at least 10 kids most of the time, She would actually sit in a chair or go and kneel, and she'd flip her apron over her head, and that meant, I'm in prayer, don't mess with me. And the kids knew that, and they knew that she was praying for them and praying for their lives and praying for their provision. And so that was just a part of who she was. And she probably had no idea the impact that she was having on those kids and on the world. Two of her sons, John and Charles Wesley, led what was called the Wesleyan Revival and had a huge impact on the world. I think there's about 80 million who consider themselves Methodists today. And then there's the influence of their writings beyond that. And you have all these organizations that came out of that movement. And those two men, the impact that they have, they attribute to their unique mother and what she put into them in their childhood. And it's just remarkable. I mean, Charles Wesley wrote about 6,000 hymns, some we still sing today. And, you know, John Wesley just did amazing things. And they are actually credited, that movement, with abolishing slavery through William Wilberforce in England. And just various things that happened. And you kind of trace it back to the impact and the influence of a godly mother, of a praying mother, who laid that foundation in her children. And it made a huge difference. Author Fern Nichols once said this, prayer is truly the greatest work I can do on behalf of my children. And so I just want to encourage you, maybe that hasn't been a habit. You can start today. Start praying for your kids on a regular basis. And then if you're building a building, so you've laid the foundation, you want to have the walls, and the walls are truth, it's scriptural truth. Helping kids discern right from wrong. And it's getting harder and harder in our culture, but this is absolutely crucial, that truth is not a matter of opinion. Truth is not a matter of a vote. Truth is not just like saying, I like blue is my favorite color and you like red. That's not what truth is. Truth is comes out of the very character of God. Truth is revealed to us in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ and in the Holy Scriptures. And so we are called, and mothers are called in a special way, to sow truth into the life of their children. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 and 7 says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Or Exodus 18:20 says, teach them his decrees and instructions and show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave. I've shared before that my mom would quote scripture. She would have these little lines that as a kid, I just thought they were just Jana-isms. Her name was Jana. And when I got older, I figured out that was scripture. And she would, you know, just kind of sow these seeds in my life. And so these are the walls of truth. They help us to understand and how to handle life. They give us a worldview we can count on. Back to Susanna Wesley as an example. She would have her children memorize short prayers and say the Lord's Prayer. She would have them read the Psalms. And she was kind of one title that somebody gave her was that she's the mother of homeschooling, because she would have her kids. She didn't have them in any kind of public school. She did 3 hours in the morning with them and 3 hours in the afternoon. And when she couldn't find a textbook that she liked, she wrote her own. So she wrote three textbooks. And at the heart of each textbook was scriptural truth. One was her exposition of the Apostles' Creed, which is a great summary of the Christian faith. Another book was all about the Ten Commandments and how to live. And then she wrote other books as well. And so it's just, are you sowing into your children, into your grandchildren, the truth of Scripture? You know, just the power of sitting down and reading Bible stories to them when they're little makes a huge difference. And out of that biblical truth comes, you know, people creatively apply it to life, like her son Charles Wesley, who wrote so many hymns. I mean, literally over 300, almost 400 years later, we're still singing some of his hymns that bubbled up out of the biblical truth that his mom sowed into him. Hymns like Hark the Herald Angels Sing, or the Easter hymn Christ the Lord is Risen Today. And you just see that the power and impact that a mother can have in the life of her children. George Washington, who is credited with founding our country, once said this about his mom. He said, "My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her." And then one of my favorite Spanish proverbs is this: "An ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy." And there's a lot of truth in that. That you can sow truth in these young minds from early on, and it is profound and powerful. We're in the middle of kind of an ugly political campaign, but it's interesting to watch. One of the candidates was a guy named Ben Carson, and he gives great credit to his single mom, who, you know, really, if you wrote down kind of, you know, the neighborhood they lived in and all the things, all the circumstances, you would not have thought that he would end up being a neurosurgeon. You would not have thought that he would end up writing books. And yet he credits the value of a mother who loved the Lord and put truth into his mind, and it made a difference in his life. And so we see that we need to build the walls, give our children truth. It's so important. The whole culture tells our children and tells us that we are the center of everything, that life is all about us and our wants and our desires, that if life is a wheel, that we're the center, we're the hub of the wheel, when the reality and the truth is that God is the center. We are made by God for God. We exist for Him and for His purposes and for His pleasure. And just that, that's just one example of the truth that needs to be put into the lives of children by mothers and fathers. But we're talking about moms today. And so we have the walls that are so crucial. And then the roof of a building, of a house. The roof would be hope. Hebrews 10:23 says this: "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." It is crucial that you teach children, because they're going to face difficulty and challenge and struggle in life, that there is hope, that we serve a God of hope, that there is an incredible God that loves us and cares about us, and that we can place our trust in Him. I love what the Scripture says about Jesus hundreds of years before He shows up on the scene. In Isaiah 61, verse 2 and 3, the prophet predicts about Jesus this, and he says this of the ministry of Christ: "To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor." The idea is that that in Christ, in the truth that is in Christ, that each child can be like a little acorn, a little seed, and out of that comes this huge oak tree, that through the adversity, through the struggle of life, there is a God who is directing and guiding and walking alongside of and helping us to understand and become all that God wants us to be. Romans 8:28, one of my favorites, says this: "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." And so in the Scripture we see Esther, who was a Jewish slave and off in exile in a place called Persia. And they ended up having a beauty pageant, and she wins the beauty pageant, and the prize is she gets to be the queen, a part of the harem, which, depending how you look at that, that's good or bad, and it's like, eh. But out of all of that, she is put in a position by God that when an evil leader in the Persians wants to wipe out the Jews, that Esther is right where she needs to be and saves her people. And if we can teach our kids that we have a God of hope who is always working, who is never surprised by anything we face, who is always taking and bringing good out of the horrible, out of the bad, out of the depressing, we can teach children to walk and live in hope. And that can make all the difference in their life. Rosa Parks, who's famous for being kind of the mother of the civil rights movement, who refused to give up her seat on a bus, and because it was basically she was sitting in, at that time they had the segregated buses, and so she was sitting in the first row of the black section, and there were too many whites, and so they told her to move, and so the other three in her row moved, and she refused. And, you know, it led to this, she got arrested, it led to this huge court case, but it ended up having over a year of a bus boycott, and Martin Luther King Jr. got involved, and it really was one of the sparks of the civil rights movement that radically changed this country and how people of color are treated. And when she's questioned, and she's written several books, and when it talked about how did you have the strength to sustain. I mean, she experienced lots of death threats. Some terrible things were aimed at her. And she said, it was because my grandmother and my mother taught me the scriptures, because they prayed for me, because they sowed into me at a young age that I was involved in, and I was loved by a God of hope, a God who was in control, that despite whatever I faced, that he was working and bringing forth good from it. And that is powerful. She said that she would walk around and quote Psalms 23, "The Lord is my shepherd," you know, despite all the things she faced. Or Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" And that hope had been instilled at her at an early age. And she eventually saw the Supreme Court rule that that form, all that segregation was unconstitutional and was not allowed. And so then we see, so we have a house that has a roof on it that's a house of hope, and we put hope into children. We also want to see a house that's warm, that is powered, that has a furnace or a wood stove that warms the house, and that's love. And that's really what mothers are known for. If you ask people, what do you appreciate about your mother? Most of the time, the answer you get is their incredible, unconditional love for us. If you had a great mother, that's usually the first answer. I was reading about Deborah Kemp, and I love her story. She had six-year-old Ashley. Her daughter was asleep in the car, and she stopped, and she got out and was messing with something, and this man tried to steal her car. Well, this mom, Deborah Kemp, leaped, you know, back in, 34-year-old mother, and she's literally, he's in the car, he's starting to drive away, she's hanging on the door and grabbing the steering wheel and fighting with this guy, and eventually she pulls him out of the car, pulls this man out of the car, and there was like the club anti-theft device, you know, right there on the dash, and apparently she got a hold of that and began to beat him with the club, and by the time it ended, you know, she had gotten dragged, so she had bloody knees and ripped pants, but he had a broken leg and suffered serious head injuries. And the lesson is, don't mess with a mother's love. And that's, you know, she took him to task for the, trying to steal her car, which I don't know if he knew that there was a little girl in the back or not. But a mother's love really, I think, is the first glimpse of the gospel. That despite our flaws, despite how we're going to fall short, we are loved unconditionally. And if you have a good mom, you get to experience that. In 1 John 4:8, it says, "Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." Or 1 Corinthians 13:13, which says, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love." And when we think about our mothers, if we've had good moms, the great gift is often love. That's what bubbles up, that they love us completely and wholly and unconditionally. I love what one mother said about her son who'd actually gotten into some trouble with the law. And she said this, she said, "He's not perfect, but he's mine." And that's a mother's love. And it's important that we see this and we get this, that this is what warms the house. This is what warms the heart of a child's life and helps them to move forward and become the adult that we hope that they will become. And I want you to see this, that moms have this crucial role. Moms matter for many reasons. They help build this house, but I think because they give the first glimpse of the gospel, that we are loved beyond what we can imagine, unconditionally, and really beyond what we could hope. And for many of us, moms have been like that. And it's a powerful gift you can give your children. So I just want to encourage and commend you, mothers. And I just want to thank you. So let me pray for you, moms, and then I'll step aside for the announcements and offering. Dear God, I lift up each mother here. Lord, I just pray that this is a time of renewal and commissioning for them and their important and crucial and critical work that they pour into the next generation. Lord, help them to build the house of holiness in the lives of their children. Lord, we know kids have free will, but Lord, help us to be, help each parent here to be as intentional as possible, to just sow truth and to lay a foundation of prayer and to make sure that despite challenges, that they always look to you, that they have hope, and that they feel at the very core of who they are, that they are deeply and passionately and unconditionally loved. Because if they get that, they begin to get your good news, your gospel, that your Son died for us, that you loved us that much. Lord, I pray for each mother here. I ask your blessing on her work. I pray for success. Lord, I pray for those ladies who are struggling today, and I pray for your comfort and your strength and your encouragement. And I ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.